Clinging to one of the greasy rocks and blending almost perfectly with it was a large, unkempt, and exceedingly soiled bird who looked more like a dirty floor mop than anything else. He had a sharp, dangerous beak, and the one eye he chose to open stared down maliciously. "I don't think you understand," said Milo timidly as the watchdog growled a warning. "We're looking for a place to spend the night."
"It's not yours to spend,"
the bird shrieked again and followed it with the same horrible laugh. "Well, that doesn't make any sense. You see," he started to explain.
"Dollars or cents, it's still not yours to spend,"
the bird replied haughtily. "But I didn't mean," insisted Milo.
"Of course you're mean,"
interrupted the bird, closing the eye that had been open and opening the one that had been closed.
"Anyone who'd spend a night that doesn't belong to him is very mean."
"Well, I thought that by—" he tried again desperately.
"That's a different story,"
interjected the bird a bit more amiably.
"If you want to buy, I'm sure I can arrange to sell. But with what you're doing, you'll probably end up in a cell anyway."
"That doesn't seem right," said Milo helplessly, for with the bird taking everything the wrong way, he hardly knew what he was saying.
"Agreed,"
said the bird with a sharp click of his beak.
"But neither is it left, although if I were you, I would have left a long time ago."
"Let me try once more," Milo said in an effort to explain. "In other words—"
"You mean you have other words?"
cried the bird happily.
"Well, by all means, use them. You're certainly not doing very well with the ones you have now."
"Must you always interrupt like that?"
said Tok irritably, for even he was becoming impatient.
"Naturally," the bird cackled. "It's my job. I take the words right out of your mouth. Haven't we met before? I'm the ever-present word snatcher, and I'm sure I know your friend, the bug."
And then he leaned all the way forward and gave a terrible, knowing smile. The humbug, who was too big to hide and too frightened to move, denied everything. "Is everyone who lives in ignorance like you?" asked Milo.
"Much worse," he said longingly. "But I don't live here. I'm from a place very far away called Context."
"Don't you think you should be getting back?" suggested the bug, holding one arm up in front of him.
"What a horrible thought," the bird shuddered. "It's such an unpleasant place that I spend almost all my time out of it. Besides, what could be nicer than these grimy mountains?"
"Almost anything," thought Milo as he pulled his collar up. And then he asked the bird, "Are you a demon?"
"I'm afraid not,"
he replied sadly, as several filthy tears rolled down his beak.
"I've tried, but the best I can manage to be is a nuisance."
And before Milo could reply, he flapped his dingy wings and flew off in a cascade of dust and dirt and fuzz.
"Wait!"
shouted Milo, who'd thought of many more questions he wanted to ask.
34 pounds!
Shrieked the bird as he disappeared into the fog. "He was certainly no help," said Milo, after they had been walking again for some time.
"That's why I drove him off,"
cried the humbug, fiercely brandishing his cane.
"Now let's find the demons."
"That might be sooner than you think," remarked Tok, looking back at the suddenly trembling bug,
and the trail turned again and continued to climb. In a few minutes, they'd reached the crest, only to find that beyond it lay another one, even higher, and beyond that, several more, whose tops were lost in the swirling darkness. For a short stretch, the path became broad and flat, and just ahead, leaning comfortably against a dead tree, stood a very elegant-looking gentleman. He was beautifully dressed in a dark suit with a well-pressed shirt and tie. His shoes were polished, his nails were clean, his hat was well brushed, and a white handkerchief adorned his breast pocket. But his expression was somewhat blank. In fact, it was completely blank, for he had neither eyes, nose, nor mouth.
"Hello, little boy," he said, amiably shaking Milo by the hand. "And how's the faithful dog?" he inquired, giving Tok 3 or 4 strong and friendly pats. "And who is this handsome creature?" he asked, tipping his hat to the very pleased humbug. "I'm so happy to see you all." What a pleasant surprise to meet someone so nice, they all thought, and especially here.
I wonder if you could spare me a little of your time, he inquired politely, and help with a few small jobs.
Why, of course, said the humbug cheerfully. Gladly, added Tok.
Yes, indeed, said Milo, who wondered for just a moment how it was possible for someone so agreeable to have a face with no features at all.
Splendid, he said happily, for there are just three tasks. Firstly, I would like to move this pile from here to there, he explained, pointing to an enormous mound of fine sand. But I'm afraid that all I have are these tiny tweezers.
And he gave them to Milo, who immediately began transporting one grain at a time.
Secondly, I would like to empty this well and fill the other. But I have no bucket, so you'll have to use this eyedropper.
And he handed it to Tok, who undertook at once to carry one drop at a time from well to well.
And lastly, I must have a hole through this cliff, and here is a needle to dig it.
The eager humbug quickly set to work picking at the solid granite wall. When they had all been safely started, the very pleasant man returned to the tree and, leaning against it once more, continued to stare vacantly down the trail, while Milo, Tok, and the humbug worked hour after 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 hour.